You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Tuesday. We'll check in with the celebrity bracket smack talker, Bryan Cranston. He's acting like Walter White here. He's doing well. He's got Iowa winning it all. That's going to hurt his chances in our celebrity bracket challenge. So Bryan Cranston will join us coming up, and we'll get to more phone calls, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. Say good morning to Peacock, our TV partner, and the great radio affiliates around the country. Congrats to Baylor and Houston for advancing to the Final Four, despite a few bumps on the road this season. Baylor was expected to get here, but for Houston, it's pretty special. The Cougars reached the Final Four for the first time back in 1984. And you're old enough to remember Phi Slamma Jamma. Then you remember one of the great teams to not win a title, although probably not a distinction you want, but led by Akeem Olajuwon and Clyde the Glide Drexler, they were intimidating. They were fun to watch. They lost one national title game to Patrick Ewing in Georgetown, and the other one, a great upset against Jim Valvano's NC State Wolfpack. And now Kelvin Sampson has Houston back among the elite teams in college basketball. This isn't a star-laden team. You don't have Hall of Famers on there. They play great defense. Yeah, nothing like tuning in to watch some great defense, but that's what Houston does. They allow just under 56 points a game in this year's tournament. That's the fewest points allowed per game by any team in the tournament, minimum four games, since Syracuse back in 2013. And Houston is 28-3 this season. They have more than twice as many wins as the Houston Rockets do. The Rockets are 13-33. That's mean-spirited. I should never have pointed that out. But I did, so it's already done. But when you think about how many college teams have eventual Hall of Famers on their roster. Now, it's the Basketball Hall of Fame, not Pro Basketball Hall of Fame. It's the Basketball Hall of Fame. You can go in to the Hall of Fame, not even have a great pro career. You can be great on the college level and get into the Basketball Hall of Fame. But Akeem Olajuwon and Clyde the Glide Drexler, those are Hall of Famers, and they didn't win the national championship. Jordan, James Worthy, Hall of Famers on North Carolina. I went back and I was thinking about UCLA. UCLA, Bill Walton, I don't know if Keith Wilkes is in the Basketball Hall of Fame. But go back to Lou Alcindor. Lou didn't play with great players as far as Lucius Allen, Lynn Shackelford. Like, they were really good high-end college players. Mike Warren, but they weren't great pro players. Richard Washington, Marcus Johnson. So I'm trying to think of teams that had two Hall of Famers playing on their roster. Yes, McLevin.
I originally thought Duke with Leitner and Hill, but then I looked it up. Christian Leitner is not a Hall of Famer.
He is a Hall of Famer.
He's, yeah. He's not in the names of the Hall of Fame.
No, but he is a Hall of Famer.
There's also something called the College Basketball Hall of Fame that I wasn't aware
of.
Yeah,
this is different. I'm wondering about those guys.
How is Leitner not a Hall of Famer?
I have no
idea.
Seems
like a no-brainer.
I'm surprised. Is there?
I'll double check to make sure.
Yeah, is Grant's in there?
He is.
Yeah. Yes, Paul.
That's odd that Grant Hill, no offense, would go into the Basketball Hall of Fame before. He had a very good pro career, but not a Hall of Fame pro career.
No.
It stopped short.
And Leitner was a better college player.
I think Gail Goodrich went to the NBA Hall of Fame or the Basketball Hall of Fame. He was at UCLA, but I don't know who he overlapped with.
Well, he was there with Walt Hazard.
Oh.
And Walt was not, I don't think he's in the Basketball Hall of Fame. And I'm sure I'm missing some people. Maybe somebody, one of the listeners or Stats Inc. can help us with that. But to have two Hall of Famers, Hakeem and Clyde the Glide Drexler, on the same team, that's rare. But then you don't even win a national championship. You know, UNLV with Stacey Augman and Larry Johnson, you know, you don't have Hall of Famers there. Is there any other? It feels like there's something obvious, but I'm missing it. Yeah, McLevin.
Certainly not that great Georgetown team or Nova. I'm just thinking the 80s when college was awesome.
No. NC State, when they won, no. We mentioned Georgetown.
Kentucky has about 47 players in the NBA, maybe. Anthony Davis.
Well, but they don't have Hall of Famers.
Right, right. Maybe in 10 years it'll be Anthony Davis and Devin Booker or something. But
yeah, Or Jamal Maybe. Murray. Yeah. Yeah. But playing on the same team. Yeah, Paulie.
That Houston team was pretty fascinating because Akeem, nobody knew. It wasn't like he was a high school recruit. He was, remember, I think, did we have Akeem on? And he said, like, he was at the airport and he was thinking about going to St. John's or something
yes.
like that. And,
yeah.
and no one was there to pick him up. So he was at Kennedy Airport in February, standing out in the cold and said, screw this.
Can you imagine coming over to the United States and all of a sudden you're waiting for somebody to pick you up? That sounds like a movie plot. Where you find somebody because somebody forgot somebody, and then, you know, all of a sudden, you bring in Akeem Olajuwon. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, the story is, he told it to us and others, but Akeem was waiting for his car ride to visit St. John's. He's standing at the curbside, freezing, and his next flight was to Houston. He just said, I'm going to alter my flight and head down.
Yeah, McClellan.
One of my big Akeem in college memories, remember they played Ewing? I feel like, and this is my memory, that they goaltended the first 10 points of the game were just Ewing and Olajuwon blocking shots. I'm sure it didn't happen that way, but they were so, as a kid, they were so dominant. I'd never seen anything like
that. But I thought that was Georgetown in North Carolina.
Oh, is that what I'm thinking of?
When
could be.
Ewing, I think, blocked or goaltended on the first 5 shots by Carolina.
On purpose?
Yeah. Yeah. I think he was trying to set the tone that you put it up and I'm going to go get it. And I think there was offensive or defensive goaltending on a few of those with Patrick. 877-3DP show, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DP Show. I love Fly Slamajama, but I like Dr. Dunkenstein. I like Louisville with Daryl Griffith. When they faced each other, it was just dunks at both ends, just up and down. Wonderful, if you like that wide open style of offense. But I just remember you're watching, it felt like every time down the floor or every other time down the floor, it was a highlight reel. Like, oh, that's going to make the highlights. That'll make the highlights. Couldn't imagine cutting the highlights for SportsCenter back then with those two teams facing each other. The highlight package is 7 minutes long. I don't know if I can cut it down any more than this. We did talk about what happened last night in the women's game, the showdown between Connecticut and Baylor. Geno Auriemma was asked after the game because there was a no call at the end and Connecticut advances. And somebody said, you know, LeBron James tweeted out that should have been a foul call. And Geno, I thought, had a very good answer.
I don't think LeBron's ever won a game on a bad call by the other team, by the other officials. Do you think? I probably doubt it. I probably doubt that in his career he's ever won a game and decided to give it back because he looked at it and went, that was a foul.
No, I think it's fair. Like, what do you expect Geno to say? If he says, yeah, they missed that one, like he would be critical of the officials. Like, wouldn't he get reprimanded for actually being honest? And, you know, does Kim Mulkey want to hear, yeah, Geno said that it was a foul? Here's Kim Mulkey when she was asked. She's the Baylor head coach.
What did you see when Dejounte drove the ball?
What did you see?
I was surprised they didn't call a foul.
Then write it like that. You don't need a quote from me. I've got steel shots and video from two angles. One kid hits her in the face and one kid hits her on the elbow.
All right. Write it. You know, when they turn it around on you in a press conference, when everybody's there, then that's an interesting feeling. Not a comfortable one, but I've had that before where you ask a question and then the coach manager returns fire. What do you think? And you can't say, coach, nobody cares what I think. You answer it and then you're going to get either a follow-up question or you're going to get a comment there. Bill Parcells would do that occasionally, but he was trying to embarrass you. Yes, Eden.
It's kind of silly, though, to be the head coach and be like, somebody asks you, what'd you think of that? And be like, I don't need to say anything. You're the head coach. You just lost the game. Yeah, you do. You do need to say something.
Yeah, Paulie.
What if the reporter would have gone total analyst and said, you know, you really shouldn't have had your guard drive to traffic there. You should have kicked out to Smith on the wing. She was 2 for 3 from the wing. You know, break it down completely.
You know, I really have a problem with the play calling, coach. I'm just going to say.
You really mismanaged the clock there last 2 minutes. So that's what I thought. Yeah. That's what I saw.
Yeah.
Back to you.
Yes, Todd.
But besides being critical of officiating and fines and things like that, you don't want to look like you're a sole loser as well. I can understand being a little sensitive in the moment. You just got screwed out of a trip to the Final Four. No matter what you say, there's no win situation there.
Wait, So what is it? You're upset in the moment or you're a sore loser? Which one is it?
I like the way she handled that. You don't want to embarrass, you know, the press, but like, you know, she didn't want to have a quote there because, you know, what are you going to say? That was a foul and we got screwed. They stole the Final Four from us. And then, you know, what does that do? And then sports media is like, what a sore loser. They swallowed the whistle and you lost.
Wait, she said, write it. It's not like she said, oh, you know what? You know, there are other moments in there and it could have gone either way. And there are other calls. And she said, write it. So, it wasn't like she was going, I'm not going to answer that. She basically did. She told her what she said. Yeah, write it then. And I saw it. I saw the pictures. All right. Yeah, McLevin.
Yeah, it was definitely a can't-win situation. But I like the way the reporter answered that. She actually hung in there pretty good. Like, she could have done a lot worse. I would have panicked. If, like, a very famous coach or Geno turned on me, I would be like, I've done that before.
No, I've been in there too. Pat Riley did that to me at the Garden during the NBA Finals. And you know, because I brought up something, and it was, the reason why I brought it up is because Jack Ramsey, the Hall of Fame coach, was working with me at the Mothership. And I said, what can I ask Riley here? And he gave me something that was deep, deep, deep in coaching and what he saw. So I'm paraphrasing Dr. Jack Ramsey, and Pat Riley was not having anything to do with what my question was. Yeah, McLevin.
That's the worst too, because all the other reporters are judging you too, and you know it. Like, you know Lupica's staring you down when you say that.
I know. That used to happen a lot when we would go to Shea Stadium for the Mets or the Yankees, and, you know, the TV hairdos. Back then, there was animosity between print media and those on TV. And, you know, they always stood around the manager and, you know, had their little, like, wedge there that you couldn't penetrate it. And you'd have to reach your microphone over like this. Excuse me, pardon me. And then you would have to ask a question or two, because we didn't have time to sit there for 30 minutes and just talk about whatever, shoot the breeze. I had to ask two or three questions, move on, and then try to get somebody else. And, oh, my God, Murray Chass, New York Times, used to drive me crazy. Murray hated TV. And, you know, he wasn't made for TV anyway. But he was a great baseball writer. But, oh, we'd get out there. Dick Young, the legendary columnist Dick Young, oh, it was just a nightmare when you get out there dealing with New York media. Because they wanted nothing to do. Camera would try to get an angle where you're interviewing somebody. But, you know, they thought because you combed your hair and you put on a suit and tie that you knew nothing about, you know, what you were covering. Nightmare. Talking hairdos. I remember the first time I heard that back in the 80s. You guys are just talking hairdos. I go, what? Yeah, you're just talking hairdos. And I thought, at least I have hair. Like, shut up. You got mustard all over your shirt, by the way. Yes, McLevin.
It's a different topic, but when you get into the business and you're thrown into that situation for the first time, there's no instruction guide on how you're supposed to do it. I mean, we've all like been like interns. I find it the most stressful. Todd's story about Cal Daniels and the Dodgers, I've had that happen to me too. Like, athletes are mean. They're mean people.
Well, it depends on when you get them and if they know who you are. And nobody knew who I was when I was working in New York. I was a nobody. But just because I comb my hair doesn't mean I don't know baseball or you're asking questions. Yes, Todd.
Is it worth getting that great soundbite, the soundbite of the press conference at your humiliation? Something you said caused some great moment. It's all over the place, but it's because, and you got humiliated because of it. That's what caused that soundbite.
Depends on what the angle of my story is. But I will say this, that those newspaper guys, when we came in, we offered a fresh perspective because we weren't there every day dealing with baseball. You know, same guys come out in the locker room, ask the same questions, talk to the manager, hey, Skip, and then everyone asked about today's starter. We would ask something that maybe was a little bit bigger, removed from the everyday, you know, dredge. But it was more national view of something or somebody. And they would always write down our answers, that whatever questions I was asking, I'd have those guys write down an answer, and then I knew that I at least knew what I was doing. They didn't like me. They didn't like TV at all. And then they all jumped ship after newspapers went under. Yeah. I'm not bitter. Phony. Yes, Paulie.
Sometimes you're watching NFL Network, they have press conferences after games, and there's like an interesting topic or an interesting thing where reporters have to really dive into the head coach or the quarterback. And, you know, they're knee-deep in this topic, and then all of a sudden a reporter gets called on. Talk about the offensive line play today, and they make a total left turn away from the hot topic of the day, and then you can't get back there. The coach has already moved on. That's when reporters don't do their job.
Yep. Yeah, but you got to hang in there, and it's tough. I remember Don Shula shut me down. I was there when they lost the overtime. I for some reason, was there for a variety of games. They lost an overtime game. Wesley Walker scored a touchdown to beat the Jets, and I remember going into the Dolphins locker room, and Don Shula just started talking, and then he stopped talking. It was like 3 minutes. And then I said, Coach, what about – and he just walked away. And then I went, what about the defense? Never mind. Yes, Todd.
What happens when you have that great question or one of your colleagues has this great question they're about to ask, but the person before pissed off that player or coach and they stormed out just before you can ask what you thought was going to be this great question? And they just left because someone just pushed it too far.
I don't know if I had that.
That moment right there, actually. About just leaving.
This moment right now.
Yeah, right now.
He just pushed it too far. We're all leaving.
Yeah.
I like when Todd runs out of air when his sentence is finished. He's like,
"Let me get that thing." But think about those.
What if with Ricky Henderson and that anymore?
Think about those times when a coach like flips out and just gets so irate, he just leaves, and everyone else has to sit there. They got to write a story, and they couldn't ask their questions. They got no quotes from the coach because someone had to ask some dumb question that set the coach off. Back to you in the studio.
Thank you, Todd. We'll take a break. Let me get to Brady in Philadelphia, then we'll take a break. Brian Cranston will join us. Hey, Brady, what's on your mind today?
Hey there, Dan.
Hey, Brady.
Hey. Just had a quick comment here, and then a quick question for you. So, hate to do this to you, Dan, but going back to those mock headlines that Fritzy blessed us with, you know, going with this Seinfeld theme that I heard from a previous caller, there's an episode where George decides, I just need to get out on a high note. So, really just take that approach, and then every single one will just feel like the best one he's delivered. I think following Costanza there is the right move.
But Brady, and we've been telling him for a decade about that. It's not, well, he's not going to change. He's not.
There's no change there, Dan?
No. He's not going to change.
The fans love it, though.
They do.
I know. Well, you know, I'm going to leave it to you then. It's in your hands and the rest of the Danettes.
All right. Thank you, Brady.
Quick question for you, though.
Okay. All right.
There we go.
Okay.
So just reading some articles online talking about, you know, how the flow of the fourth quarter was more let the players play. Does that at all play into this no call? Does that at all justify it just because of the timing?
I want you to call the game as you would in the first quarter. If that's a foul in the first quarter, then it's a foul in the fourth quarter. That's all. If players and coaches know how you're going to call a game, then they adjust. But I don't think you can change it at some point without kind of alerting the players and coaches as to the game is now being you know called differently. That's all. But if those two teams felt like that it was consistent from start to finish and let them play that way, okay. I still think it was a foul. Was it egregious? No. Should it have been called? Yeah, I do. I think it should have been. Yeah, McLevin.
That was a very reasonable Philadelphia call. See, Philadelphia sports fans.
Brady's probably not from Philadelphia. He just lives there.
It didn't sound like it.
Maybe he was stopping through Philadelphia, go to the Midwest.
Get a Wawa stop.
Is that your gas station?
Philadelphia, yeah. They're kind of spreading all over now. But
the Wawa?
Wawa, and they have like specific foods, tasty cakes. Yeah, I have to take you guys on a Philly food tour.
Nah. I've had the cheesesteak there.
Is it good?
What's the second?
Philadelphia cream cheese.
Okay.
Soft pretzels is Philadelphia.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, pork sandwiches. They have good pork sandwiches.
I think I'm good. Don't need to head to Philadelphia.
It's like an hour away. Like, even if you're driving through to D.C., you can't stop, get a snack. No.
At a Wawa?
Yeah, Wawa. It's a spot.
Yes, Tom.
I thought they're big with the pretzels, Philly. I remember going to a Phillies game and they had these connected like rings pretzels. It almost looked like a bracelet or something. I just was fascinated by that. And it was, they were selling it as like this a big deal. You have to have a Philadelphia pretzel with the rings connected to each other. Just a thought. I'm not doing well. Last couple of things I said, you want no part of any of these last three or four things I said.
But instead of not saying anything, you always try to talk yourself out of a hole.
I do. You figure the next at bat, you know, it's like a gambler. The next one's going to be, that's going to be the big winner.
Oh.
You probably just go to Bryan Cranston at some point.
Yeah, let's take a break here. It's 21 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. RockAuto.com has the parts your car or truck will ever need. RockAuto.com, it's a family business founded by automotive engineers back in 1999. Two goals in mind. I want to give you direct access to all the parts information hidden in the computers and catalogs behind the parts store counter. And second, they want to make the parts affordable. They offer reliably low prices. RockAuto.com has correct parts for both old and new cars. Can't just pour 10W30 oil into just about every engine you like from 30 years ago. RockAuto.com has specific oil, transmission fluid, antifreeze, other chemicals your car must have. Don't waste time and money hunting for those parts where you're phoning, you're driving, you're waiting in lines. This is one-stop shop. It's rockauto.com. They're there 24/7. Make sure you tell them we sent you. Write Dan Patrick in the "How did you hear about us?" box so they know we sent you. All the parts your car or truck will ever need at rockauto.com. And make sure you understand what you're ordering, what your car needs. They'll help you with everything at rockauto.com. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you can get your podcast.
Where other vans stop short, Mercedes-Benz vans go far beyond. From their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales service, financial support crew, Mercedes-Benz vans build equipped, engineered to get ready for anything. So go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Updating the celebrity bracket challenge, John Daly. Yeah, that John Daly is in first place among the celebrities. Seton O'Connor and Jim Parsons are second. And then our next guest, Bryan Cranston, is third. Talked a great game leading up to the bracket challenge and so far delivering, but it might be a little difficult for you to win it with Iowa as your team to win the national title there, Bryan.
Hey, don't give up on Iowa so quickly. I still think they've got some life in that.
It's not a double elimination, by the way.
Oh, great. Now you know.
I know. What was your strategy? Because you did talk a great game going into this.
I always wanted to pick someone who was not, you know, the Gonzagas of the world and, you know, the easy pick like some of the rest of those celebrities you've got in the game, you know. And I just thought, you know, in looking at it over the year, I thought they were playing really tough basketball. And I thought that was the team that could rise to the top, but boy, I was quickly proven wrong there.
What would it mean to win the celebrity bracket challenge to you?
You know, if I can be honest for a second and very sincere, Dan, I've been very fortunate to win Emmys and Golden Globes and Tony Awards, but none of them would match what this would mean to me. This would be the pinnacle. This would go in my trophy chest, in the very center, with its own light shining on it.
By the way,
can I see what the trophy is? I haven't seen what it looks like.
It's a 1974 TV console, so it's got a stereo in it. You can play 45s, and it's got a TV in it. So it's really, really pretty.
I want that thing more than ever now.
No.
I would kill a very close relative.
We were bringing up, as you might expect on this program in the first hour, we were talking about Steven Seagal and his running ability. and how he doesn't run very well. But in your honor, you know, in the show you do in New Orleans, you're running, you know, part some of the scenes. You're jogging there in the morning. Can you act athletic as an actor?
You mean me personally? Yes.
Like, how hard is that? That Steven Seagal is a guy who can kill us all, but he can't run.
You just rhymed, by the way, which was good. Steven Seagal can kill us all. It is actually difficult. And if I have more of a confession here, is that I didn't do a lot of that running. Anytime you see me running, oh yeah, look at you looking depressed and sad that I lied to you. It's TV.
I thought you were a method actor. I thought that you took on. Brando used to run. De Niro runs. Pacino runs.
None of those guys run.
Wow. So you're not running in that.
No, I'm doing some of it. I'm doing some of it. But, you know, you literally run a risk of injury. If I go down, it's not good. You know, who could take my place? You kind of look like me in a younger version, not as handsome, but younger.
I'm like 2 months younger than you, I think.
Yeah.
So I
turned 65 this month.
I'm in May.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I am younger than you.
Yeah, you are.
I could,
but 2 months.
Yeah.
So respect your elders.
Yeah. But I was always wondering about, like, Tom Cruise can run, but it feels like
anything.
Right. But it feels like they, accentuate his ability to run. Have you worked with Tom Cruise before?
I was in the same movie with Tom Cruise, but we didn't work together. I was in a movie called Rock of Ages.
Now, was that his choice that you wouldn't be in the same scene with him? But being
it was his contract that stipulated that I'll allow him to be in the same movie, but we will not work together. He is amazing. I really like Tom. I think he's the hardest worker in Hollywood, and he's always been really gregarious and fun and nice. I don't know of anyone who works harder in his scenes than Tom.
Let's go over the lazy actors in Hollywood. If Cruise is, you know, a really hard worker, can you name some names of guys who are just lazy?
I can.
Okay. Like Clooney, you know, you said Clooney kind of mails it in.
Well, yeah, he's, you know, I have a story about Clooney. I was doing a play. I was in Hollywood. This is 35 years ago, something like that. And I was asked to stay on in the play as an understudy. And I was insulted because I felt at that time I earned the role of this successful play. And they said, well, we got two guys who were coming in. And I said, forget it. I quit. I'm out. And I stormed out of the building, and I just happened to walk by one of the rooms where they were rehearsing. And I snuck in the back and I watched George Clooney and his cousin, Miguel Farrar, doing the scenes that I was very well versed in. And they, I got to admit, they were so good that I walked back in tail between my legs to the artistic director. And I said, okay, I'll stay.
Did you ever do an audition where you go, I got this?
A lot of them, you want to have that feeling of confidence that you did really well. But if you ever get into that mindset of I've got it, counting, you know, it's like the wide receiver about to do the dance step in the end zone, and he doesn't see the guy come up behind him and knock the ball out of his head. You're in danger. You should never do that, because, you know, it's like shooting a 3-point shot. You might have a good target, but man, you're not going to make them all. And if you start counting it and celebrating before you drop it, you know, you're going to look foolish.
Are you using sports analogies so I'll be able to follow you?
I was trying to help you get a segue into, you know, talking about the tournament and things, because I know you could be kind of slow at times.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very slow. Very slow. Mm-hmm. What's your alma mater?
I didn't go to college. I didn't. I went to 2 years at a junior college, and I was about to transfer. I was going to go to UCLA to under a administration of justice major. But 2 years into this junior college, I discovered girls in acting classes, and all of a sudden, everything went out the window. I mean, it upended the apple cart. I all of a sudden, I from being so sure of what I wanted to do to completely confused. And so I left school and traveled around for a few years, and then got into the acting business.
When are you shooting season two of Your Honor?
No, there is no season two. We did the 1 year.
Wait.
You know, they would like to continue on with the season two, but right now there are no plans to continue. It is what it is.
How can I help? How can I help, Brian? I thought it was a great show.
Oh, thank you.
I thought it was great.
You know, with the exception of the running parts, I think.
Yeah, now that I know that you weren't doing them, but, yeah. You know, there was a cliffhanger at the very end there, Brian.
Well, I don't know about a cliffhanger. It was a tragic ending.
Well,
you didn't watch it, did you?
I did.
All right.
It's spoiler alert where your son is in your arms at the very end.
Yeah. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah. And then there's the mob guy, and then your son is dating his daughter, and he's just realizing that. Okay.
You did watch. I'm touched by that.
I was very impressed. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. And I love that it was spaced out. I had to watch each week.
Yes.
I think that's old school. That's what we grew up with. And I like that I had to wait for the next week for the episode.
It's kind of like, you know, not downloading your show. We have to wait till the next morning to catch, you know, your next show.
Yeah.
We can't just, you know, stuff ourselves with Dan Patrick all day long and fill up, you know. You got to pace yourself.
And I've been called Your Honor before with what I do here, because this is sort of my courtroom. This is what I do. But I'm not somebody who can be bought or manipulated like your character could have been.
Oh, yeah. You know, when I would have loved to have seen a cutaway shot of the Danettes when you said, "I've been called Your Honor over here," and just to see them lower their heads or suppress a smile.
No, they know this is court is in session here, Brian.
Boy, I'll tell you.
See, now I return the favor of being a little smack talking cocky like you were. How's it feel there? Huh?
He's the smack talking cocky.
Yeah, or something like that. Are you doing anything the rest of the day? Like, is this it?
This is the highlight of my day, Dan. This is all I'm doing.
The earliest you've started drinking is when, during the pandemic?
Well, you know that Aaron Paul and I have the Mezcal Dos Hombres.
Yes.
And so a lot of times we'll go on these Zoom calls with sales forces around the country. And they're starting theirs at 11 o'clock in the morning, their sales group meeting on the East Coast. We're on the West Coast. And so it's 8 o'clock in the morning here. And they're going, "Come on, share a drink with us." And I was like, "Oh, my God." So we're sipping a little Dos Hombres at 8 o'clock in the morning sometimes.
But have you ever had something real to drink during a scene where you're drinking, a drinking scene?
No.
Is that frowned upon?
Well, it's just, you know, people think, a lot of people who drink think that they're smarter, sharper, funnier when they drink.
Yes.
And, you know, they really aren't. They really aren't. And, you know, I've never seen you drunk. Are you a happy drunk?
Well, what do you mean? Like, do I hug? Am I feely? Like, I touchy?
Yeah, touchy, feely, cry kind of guy.
No, I'm that way without drinking. But I don't know. We would get along. Well, we had shots or drinks backstage on Broadway.
Yeah.
But those were just little ones. Like, you kind of cut me off there after, I think, one or two.
Well, I didn't want you to be sloppy and, you know, and stumble home.
Billy Bob Thornton said in Bad Santa, he actually got drunk in one of the scenes.
Yeah, I can imagine.
but now when I look back on the scene, I think he's falling down in the escalator, and then you realize he said he was hammered.
Wow.
Have you worked with Billy Baum?
I have not.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Well,
is he in the tournament?
Billy is not in the tournament. Michael Douglas is.
Is he?
Yeah.
How's he doing?
Michael Douglas. Let me see how Michael's doing. Will Ferrell's in here. Michael Douglas is tied for 22nd.
Okay.
I'm trying to think if there's any. Adam Sandler is in here. He's doing well.
Okay.
Actor.
I'm in third place right now.
Yeah, but you won't last there.
Okay. Just give me the straight dope here. I've got, of course, the Gonzagas and the Baylors. I've got Houston and Michigan all in my Elite Eight. So yeah. I've got four of the eight.
That's pretty good. And then it goes south after that, I think.
It goes real fast.
Well, that's why we wanted to have you on today, because nobody was going to care tomorrow. I mean, I had Jim Parsons on last week when he was in first place. So, you know, how quickly we move on here.
Okay, so who's got what? How many players there have the you know, no one picked SC and UCLA to be in the Elite.
I think Will Ferrell did, because he went to USC.
He went to SC. Yeah, good for him, man. And by the way, I think you watch out. SC can upend Gonzaga today. You watch that. It might happen.
Well, that's not going out on a limb.
What do you mean it's not going out on a limb? Gonzaga's undefeated. What are you talking about?
Of course they have a chance.
Well, not a chance. I mean a good chance.
Well, what's that mean? Like, you're not calling it. You're not putting something on the line. Would you do like a pie to the face? Would you do a pie to the face? If USC doesn't win, then you take a pie to the face. Like, your wife comes in and does a pie to the face. If USC beats Gonzaga, I will take a pie to the face.
You got it. Let's pie to the face. Pinky swear.
Pinky swear. There's my pinky swear. Right there. Okay. Pie to the face.
Pie to the face, pinky swear.
Yeah. All right. I hope you have a season two of Your Honor. You did a great job with that. Really liked it. And if not, then, you know, it's just another thing that you do. Discard it and you move on to something else. And you'll be brilliant in that as well.
Oh, thank you,
Must
sir.
Be such a burden. Must be such
That's
a
good.
Man.
You're going to hope everything's well.
It's always good. Always good to talk to you, Brian. And thanks for joining us.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
That's the smack-talking Brian Cranston on the show. He won't be smack-talking tomorrow. And he'll be get a pie to the face as well. He knows that. Yes, Paul.
He put it out there, though. He didn't just say USC.
But he said they have a chance. And a good chance.
You forced his hand a little bit.
Yeah, McLovin.
I can't believe he has a stunt runner.
I know. Who knew? Steven Seagal doesn't have a stunt runner. All right. We'll be back after this close-up shop on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Lucas and John Havlicek went on to be Hall of Famers. McLovin says there's one other team that I'm missing.
I got three more.
Three more?
Yeah, and almost a fourth.
Is there another North Carolina?
Yes. You probably wouldn't know one of these guys was in the Hall of Fame. He's a more recent inductee.
Hmm. Okay.
An older team with a recent inductee.
Older team. Recent inductee.
One's a no-brainer from North Carolina. You'll know that. You know this guy's game well. 1972.
Bob McAdoo?
Right. That's one. And he had a teammate who is known more for defense.
I was thinking of George Karl.
And I hope I didn't screw this up, but I believe, George Karl was on that team. Does Paulie have it?
Yeah. I was going to say, Tyler Hansbrough was at North Carolina for 18 years.
No, he was not.
Bobby Jones was inducted into the Hall of Fame in like about 2 years ago. He's an ABA combination.
Okay.
Okay. You mentioned Jamal Wilkes. Him and Walton were together. Jamal Wilkes recently inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Chris Mullin and Mark Jackson. No, Mark Jackson, not a Hall of Famer. But there's another Big East team that we all watched of recent vintage.
Syracuse?
Nope. Okay. Think big men. College of big men.
Well, Georgetown had big men. Hakeem.
Nope, I'm not Hakeem.
Or Alonzo.
Yep.
And Ewing. And Dikembe.
Dikembe. So Mourning and Dikembe were together for a year or two. And Dikembe recently made the Hall of Fame as well.
Wait, is Ewing in the Hall of Fame?
No, but on the same roster.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, Ewing.
Okay.
But Mourning and Dikembe were on the same team. So these are all guys were all on the same year, same team. But I got four. There's probably more.
Not in my house. Oh, I love that laugh. It is. Oh, yes, Paulie.
If Larry Bird had stayed at Indiana, there would have probably been a few, right? Because is Quinn Buckner in the Hall of Fame? Basketball Hall of Fame? Maybe in the college basketball. Or they're basically just one now.
Yeah, McLovin.
I looked up one guy and I had no idea. George McGinnis went to Indiana and he made the Hall. He is another recent ABA guy to make the Hall of Fame.
He was prior to the Bob Knight Hoosiers.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, he graduated in 70. That's before they became.
Yeah. George was a wonderful player. But I didn't know if Kent Benson and Scott May made the Basketball Hall of Fame or Quinn Buckner. No. All right. Fritzy wanted me to, he's handed me this stat of the day a couple of times. Russell Westbrook became the Wizards' all-time leader in triple-doubles in just 38 games. Okay. First player to have 35-point, 20-assist triple-double. He's currently second on the NBA's all-time triple-double list, trailing only Oscar by 19. Okay.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Not into the triple-double stat anymore.
I'm guessing,
too easy to get it.
I'm guessing Joker and Luka Doncic are going to be passing Russell Westbrook at some point. I guess. I'll wait till you give me those stats. Yes, Tom?
Speaking of Joker, I had a really, if you'll humor me, a really weird dream last night that like someone was performing like surgery on my mouth, and I don't know what was going on. I realized I had watched the Joker movie over the weekend, and I guess that got stuck in my head, and I woke up like in a cold sweat panicking this morning that someone had done something that caused like a red line in a smiley face to go all across my face, and it was really upsetting, and it felt like really real that I like actually took a look at the mirror for a second when I got out of bed. Since you brought up Joker. What causes those weird
We're not exactly like leaving them laughing today.
That wasn't supposed to be funny. It was just.
That's what I'm saying.
I know. It was one of those
mission accomplished.
It was one of those dreams where just like you're looking at yourself in the mirror to see if something happened to you.
We're still on the air, Todd.
I think we're on.
Oh, yeah, we are. Yes. I thought this was like a little post.
No, kind of chat. No, we're good. What did we learn on the program, Todd?
The Packers lit a fire under Aaron Rodgers, but Jimmy G's being burned at the stake by the Niners.
Yeah. You know, Jimmy really responds when you light a fire under. Okay. McLovin.
Todd used a tradition. Speaking of the Joker and refer to Nikola Jokic there, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Seton O'Connor, what'd you learn?
Running in Hollywood, more tricky than you think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stunt runner. Paulie?
Brian Cranston, stunt runner.
What we learned brought to you by Mercedes-Benz vans go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales service, and financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz vans, built, equipped, engineered, ready for anything. Go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Enjoy the games tonight. We'll recap those and the pro days from today. Thanks for joining us here on the Dan Patrick Show. One more item as we close out the show, and it's Full Sail University and the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting, an accelerated bachelor's degree in sportscasting, teaching you all the aspects in front of the camera, behind the camera, podcasting, radio, everything in between. So many things to love about Full Sail's approach to education. What they do is they combine hands-on learning and faculty with real-world experience, and they're preparing students for what life is really like in the industry. And for this, we brought in a lot of people that I worked with in the business, and the students are learning this business inside and out from the people who've actually worked in the industry at a very, very high level. At Full Sail University, you can earn your bachelor's degree in sportscasting in about half the time, as short as 20 months, and you can, you know, earn your degree online, or Full Sail has a campus, beautiful campus in Orlando, Florida. To learn more about the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting, it's fullsail.edu/Dan Patrick. fullsail.edu/Dan Patrick.